For generations and generations, for hundreds of years, one night a year, the youngest family member of every Jewish household asks the question, why is this night different from all others? And that marks the formal beginning of the Passover celebration in each Jewish household. The Passover celebrated their national origin. If you go back to Exodus 12, and we're going to look at some of the text from Exodus 12 a little bit later in our sermon, but Exodus 12, God told Israel, this is the beginning of months for you. In other words, this is your beginning as a nation. He was establishing their calendar. Passover was the first of three major national festivals that they celebrated in their calendar year, and it was the very first one they celebrated as a nation. And it was just loaded with all kinds of significance. What I want to do this morning is talk about the Passover and its relationship to Israel, its relationship to Christ, and its relationship to the church. So I'd like to spend our time this morning talking about that. We'll talk about Passover in Israel, Passover in Egypt, and Passover and the church. I want to start just from the book of Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I want to start reading in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for each household. If the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner part. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you and on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It talks here about the origin of the Passover. As I said, it's based here in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the beginning of, or is right before the occurrence of the last of the plagues against Egypt. At this point, the Israelites have been in the land of Egypt for over 400 years. For the better part of that time, since the death of Joseph, they had become a slave nation. God called Moses, one of the Israelites living in Egypt, at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. He grew up as he was born as an Israelite. He was raised in the household of Pharaoh. He went away for a while at about the age of 40. He was afraid that he was going to get punished, and so for murdering an Egyptian soldier. And it was clear that Israel was not ready to look at him at that point as a savior of any kind. So he leaves, he goes to the land of Midian, he gets married, he has kids, and then God calls him in Exodus chapter 3 and tells him, I want you to deliver my people from Egypt. And so starting with about Exodus chapter 3 and going through chapter 11, you have Moses' confrontation with Pharaoh and the plagues against the nation of Egypt. And as we just saw in chapter 12 here in verse 12, he says, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. This wasn't a contest between Moses and Pharaoh. It wasn't a contest between Israel and Egypt. It was a contest between the true and the living God and the false gods of Egypt. And God says as much here in Exodus chapter 12. So this prepares us then for the last plague. And with this last plague, and he tells them, get ready to eat this in haste. It must be prepared in haste. It must be eaten in haste. And then after this, Egypt would let Israel go into the wilderness. And so that's the background of what's going on here. Again, it's connected with the plague, the death of the firstborn, and that's spelled out a little bit later in chapter 12 and the actual execution of that in Exodus chapter 13. In terms of the details about how it was actually celebrated, first of all, the celebration, if you look in chapter 12, verse 2, it's on the first of the month of their civil calendar. Basically, this was like January is to us, the first month of their calendar year. It was the month of Abib is what it's called in chapter 13, verse 4. Today, in the month of Abib, you were going out. On the 10th of the month, they take a lamb. They choose a lamb for each household. So this was each household acting on their own, although the entire nation was expected to do this. At one point, he refers to the congregation of Israel, but what he means is all Israelites are doing this household by household. He wanted it so that there would not be a great deal of waste. Again, it's to symbolize the haste in the preparation and the execution of this. And then on the 14th of the month at twilight, basically late in the afternoon on the 14th day of the month, they were to slaughter the lamb, whether it was sheep or goats. They would slaughter the lamb, they would take the blood and they would spread it on the lintel of the houses in which they lived, and then they start preparing it, they start cooking it. So it's actually celebrated on the 15th of the month. The lamb is slaughtered on the 14th, and then the 15th is when the rest of it takes place. Remember, their day started in the evening. Once the sun went down, that was the beginning of a new day. So as the sun is going down on the 14th, that's when the lamb is slaughtered, and then it's prepared, and then on the actual 15th is when they begin the feast. So that's when it begins, and then it would involve several different things. They would kill the lamb, they would apply the blood to the doorpost, they would roast the lamb, and they would eat it, we're told, with bitter herbs. If you go back to chapter 12, verse 6, you shall keep it in the 14th day of this month. Verse 8. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Now, based on what we know here in Exodus chapter 12, it was a very simple ritual. And this is the first time they're doing it. Now, once they got into the land, or for that matter, even as they are in the wilderness, it appears to have become a more elaborate ritual. But basically here, they kill a lamb, they cook it, they eat it, they spread the blood on the doorposts, and then they eat the meat along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Okay, so that's the basic celebration that they're going to do. And then in chapter 12, verse 14 and following, it was the beginning of an actual week-long celebration. Chapter 12, verse 14, this day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh, until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. And then he goes on and provides a few more details about it. The symbolism here he explains actually in a number of ways. First of all, it symbolized the exodus from Egypt. If you look in chapter 12 down in verse 42, it was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. It also symbolized, I believe, God's mercy upon the nation. If you look in chapter 12 and verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Also in that same chapter, in verse 23, he says, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." And then he says again in verse 27, "You shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses.'" So a number of things were involved. It was the symbolic of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. It was symbolic of God's mercy upon the Israelites. And so it symbolized a number of things. And already in this text, we see that this becomes a benchmark. As we saw back in chapter 2, this is the beginning of months for them. And several places in the text, this is something that they are to observe throughout their generations. It was something they were to observe whenever they had the every year the opportunity would come for them to celebrate this. And even in the text, for example, if you look in chapter 12 in verse 24, "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover.'" And again in chapter 13 in verse 8, "You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" And he says again in verse 14, "And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery.'" And so that's the significance to Israel. It's the beginning of their existence as a nation. Prior to this, they were a large group of people who were biologically related. But when he says in chapter 12, verse 2, "This is the beginning of months for you," he's saying this is the beginning of your existence as a nation. I would say that Passover corresponds to Israel in the same way that the 4th of July corresponds to American history. We mark the 4th of July as, we call it, the day, Independence Day, the day when, as a country, we began to exist. And that's the same thing with the nation of Israel and their Passover celebration. Now, when you get to the New Testament, you're dealing specifically with Jesus and the Passover. And by the time we get to the New Testament, there are some things that have changed a little bit. With regard to Jesus, we know that he began celebrating it as a child. In Luke chapter 2, we're told when he was age 12, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. So by the time we get to this incident, he's been doing this for 12 years, because verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom." And then it talks about Jesus' participation in the feast and the fact that he got separated from his parents and so forth. So Jesus had been celebrating this from the time he was a boy, just like every faithful Jewish family would do. It was a great religious celebration. In their case, they would actually go to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate it. Many Jews would do that. There were some Jews who were prohibited from the distance of travel and so forth who would celebrate it in their homes. But basically, it would be celebrated in Jerusalem by most of the Jews who could attend. Now, when we get to the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus begins his public ministry when he's about 30 years old, is what we're told. And we can account for at least three different Passover celebrations during his public ministry. You go to the Gospel of John. John is the one who very plainly identifies the Passover celebrations during his ministry. For example, in John chapter 2, verse 13, "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem," and then we're told that he cleansed the temple on that occasion. And there's another reference in chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. So that marks the first Passover that he celebrated during his public ministry. I think this also explains something that happens back in chapter 1. Back in chapter 1, John the Baptist introduces Jesus of Nazareth to his own followers. And two different times, if you'll notice in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the next day, verse 35, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That tells me that this incident, when Jesus begins bringing disciples to himself, when Jesus starts accumulating disciples, it apparently was right before the Passover celebration. So that was the first one that we know about. The second one that John mentions is in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 4, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. This is the feeding of the 5,000. This is Jesus' discourse on being the bread of life. He was the true heavenly manna, the bread that came down from heaven." So that's the second one that we know about. Now, whether or not this is the second one he celebrated during his ministry is a matter of some question, because we don't know how much time has elapsed. It could be that this was actually the second one in his ministry. I tend to think there may have been another one between the first and second one, but we don't know for sure. And then, of course, the last one is when Jesus is actually crucified. A number of times in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, it talks about the days of unleavened bread. And we know that his death happened during Passover. John chapter 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany. And then it goes on with other references to the Passover feast in John 12, John 13, John 18. So his death took place at Passover. Passover was an integral part of Jesus' life because he was a faithful Jew. He did what the law of Moses said. He did according to the expectations of the law. Now, by the time we get to the New Testament, some things have changed with regard to how it was celebrated. It apparently became a lot more ritualistic. What started out as a very simple, hurried feast back in Exodus chapter 12, there seems to have been some elements added.